Chesterfield.
When making out your Christmas list, be sure you all remember this. For smoking pleasure at its best, here's the gift that leads the rest.
Chesterfield.
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 Christmas card, cartons of milder Chesterfield.
That's right.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter. Welcome you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield. Produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors, and Bing's guests, Alexis Smith and Bert Wheeler. And now, ladies and gentlemen, with the holidays fast approaching, I'd like to present one of Southern California's leading Christmas tree salesmen, Mr. Bing Crosby.
That's a nice little evergreen models over there for you. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you for plugging our little enterprise, but I want to warn you about something.
What?
Better get over to the lot fast and pick out your tree, because Christmas is about here. Come on over, I'll give you 10 off on a nice, nice model.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
But look, suppose I drop around and you're not there. What'll I do?
Just ask for my associate, Mr. Hope.
Mr. Hope? Oh, you and Bob are partners in this tree business?
Yes.
Really?
You didn't know that, huh?
No.
Well, we've been working pretty hard lately, Bob and I, so our doctor suggested we do some outside work.
Oh, I see. Well, working out in a big lot amidst all those pine trees, that should be healthy.
Just like a trip to the Canadian Rockies, Ken.
By the way, how is Bob to be in business with,
Bing? Oh, Ken, he's like a chipmunk with a basket of bark. He's never seen anything. But he's a worrier, a big worrier, stewing all the time. We had a couple of slow days last week. You remember the little warm spell came on? Well, it slowed right down. This morning, I caught him trying to hang himself from one of the 30-foot silver tips we had there.
Did you stop him?
Yes, I had to. Just as he got the rope around his neck and started to jump, a woman came along and wanted to buy that very tree. I had to cut him down. I had no alternative.
You know, I can't blame Bob for worrying. You know, being the Christmas tree business is, well, it's seasonal, highly specialized. You boys can lose your shirts.
Oh, don't worry, Ken. We got insurance.
So what?
Well, about December 24th, there's apt to be a terrific forest fire right on Sunset Boulevard, just west of Vine. This may top Santa Claus Lane, this conflagration that we're figuring out.
You're kidding.
Of course, I'm kidding, but I wouldn't set fire to trees for the insurance, but I have no control over my associate. But I better get on to the opening selection, Ken, and you know what we got tonight?
What?
We got that great seasonal favorite of the kiddies.
What's that?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Love it. Love it.
Hey, little Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen.
But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glowed. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him, and they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glowed.
All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call me names.
They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
I say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Then how the reindeer loved me, as they shouted out with glee,
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history.
On Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer, on Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Space Cadet, Jezebel.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Folks, with Christmas just 13 days away, that last-minute shopping rush is about to begin. Now, we all know what a stampede that is, so let me give you a tip. You can do your shopping fast and easy at your neighborhood Chesterfield dealer. You know, it's really amazing how many of your Christmas shopping problems he can solve. He'll save your disposition and your shoe leather, too. And being plenty smart, this dealer of yours, he's making a big thing of our Chesterfield Christmas card carton. That's the carton that combines your gift and your greeting, too.
The outside of the carton is a nice old-fashioned Christmas scene, and inside, those milder Chesterfields with no unpleasant aftertaste.
Perfect, Ken. Perfect for every smoker on your list. Christmas time, every time. Sound off for Chesterfield.
Get an early start on Old St. Nick. Go down to your Chesterfield dealers quick. For your smoking friends that you'd be pleasing, get Chesterfields for the holiday season.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Sound off
for Chesterfield. Christmas card,
cartons of milder Chesterfield.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Rodgers and Hammerstein's song from The King and I. Also seeing service as the TV theme song for our friends Mary Healy and Peter Hayes.
I'm getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Getting to like you, getting to hope you like me. Getting to know you, putting it my way, but nicely. You are precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I am with you, getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you day by day. Now,
ladies and gentlemen, I have a very pleasurable chore, that of presenting one of the loveliest, one of the really charming young ladies of the screen. She appeared with us just a few weeks ago. She's back with us tonight for a rematch. Miss Alexis Smith.
Hello, Bing.
Welcome back, Alexis. I just want to take a moment here to congratulate you on the terrific job you did the last time you were on the show.
Well, we had a lot of fun kidding around with that old television movie, Bing.
Didn't we? Some of those movies they show on television's pretty grim, don't you think?
You know, I bought a big screen this week.
You did?
It's 6 feet by 10 feet.
A 6 foot by 10 foot screen for your television set?
For in front of my television set.
You know, Alexis, we're going to do another old movie tonight. You're going to be the leading lady.
Oh, fine.
Terrific story we got here tonight. Really an outstanding yarn. The Roaring Twenties. Back in the days of flappers, the bathtub gin. You know, the jazz age.
Well, I'm afraid I don't, Bing. Thank goodness that was before my time.
Well, thank goodness mine, too. All I know about the 1920s and the early 30s is what I've learned through research. I read up on it last night.
Oh, you kept a diary.
No. I was reading F. Scott Fitzgerald. Of course, I got to admit, Alexis, I was around in those days. You've got me trapped because I was with Paul Whiteman.
Whiteman. Mm-hmm. Didn't he have a band or something?
He had a band or nothing. It was a real big outfit, too, Alexis. 35 musicians and a bail bondsman. Bail bondsman doubled on French horn.
I guess things were pretty wild then.
Well, let's just say they were colorful. I tell you, Alexis, you missed something if you weren't there for those days, because really colorful, gay, picturesque. The girls were very flashy. They wore their shingle haircuts, you know, and the real short skirts. They rolled their stockings below the knees. A lot of men in those days, they carried flasks on their hips.
Hip flasks? What for?
What for, she said. You see, Alexis, it was necessary to carry a flask because there wasn't a drugstore on every corner like there is now, so everybody used to carry... Such incredulity I've never encountered. Everybody used to carry Cokes or Maltas around on their hips. Maltas were pretty strong then, too. I've seen many a fella take a swig of a Malted and shudder.
Well, it all sounds fantastic to me.
Of course it was. Now, Alexis, if you want to look over your part, I'll introduce our leading man to the folks. Do you mind? Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce a fine comedian, great little guy, Mr. Bert Wheeler.
Hiya, Bing.
Say, Bert, you know what we're doing tonight?
What?
We're doing a movie, and you're going to be the leading man in it. It's a gripping story of the mad 20s.
Yeah?
You know, the days of the It Girl. Stutz Bearcats and Pope Hartfords and Prohibition.
Oh, now, please, Bing, that was before my time.
Bertie.
Yes?
Don't give me that.
Well, as long as you're pinning me down, I did happen to know a little about the 1920s.
Don't tell me you did some research, too.
Research nothing. I wrote the book.
Am I in it?
Definitely.
I'm cooked, I guess.
Bing, I remember the first car you had.
Wasn't that a bear?
Yeah, you had a big sign on it that said, Peaches, here's your can.
I want to tell you something. That sign got plenty of peaches up around Visalia and those towns.
I should say. And, Bing, remember the time the rumble seat slammed shut with me in it and I missed 3 weeks at the palace?
With a malted on your hip, too.
That's right.
I'm glad I found you in there, Bert. Hey, Bert, let's get on with the old movie, huh? If Mr. Ken Carpenter will set the scene, we're away.
And now, radio listeners, we bring you Television as we present a typical old movie as shown on this up-and-coming medium. Hello again, televiewers. This is Ace Carpenter welcoming you once again to your Wednesday night extra special Request Movie Time, the program where you get what you ask for and right in your living room. And now, here's my co-worker and your master of ceremonies, the jovial, genial, saccharine Biff Crosby.
Thank you, Ace. Thank you, Ace. Thank you, neighbors, for letting me barge into your living room again this evening. And boy, oh boy, do I have a treat for you viewers tonight. Tonight marks another big first on your Wednesday night extra special Request Movie Time. If you've looked at the television listings in tonight's evening papers, you'll know that you're in for a terrific thrill, because the picture we have scheduled for tonight is Quo Vadis. That is a misprint. Quo Vadis will be shown 20 years from tonight. That's not too long to wait for a good picture, is it? So don't forget now, we have a date to see Quo Vadis in just a fifth of a century. Now, don't start phoning the stations, folks, because as a substitute for Quo Vadis, we have another outstanding film epic entitled Ding Dong Daughters.
Pardon me a second, Biff. Friends, the first two scenes in tonight's picture are brought to you through the courtesy of the makers of Hacko Cough Drops. The cough drop with a hole in it, which allows free coughing.
And now... Now for the movie.
Folks, don't block that cough. Cough through a Hacko.
And now for the movie.
Remember, at the first sign of a cold, take a hack at it.
And now for the movie. Ding, dang, daughter. I mean, ding, dong, daughter. Dang it, I...
Leona.
Oh, Virgil, you must stop coming here. My daddy says you're a no-good lounge lizard and a drugstore cowboy.
I don't care what your daddy says. What does your father say?
likes you.
And I like you too, Virgil. That's because I'm your Sheba and you're my sheep.
A rowdy doll.
Come on, flaming youth. Let's sizzle.
Say, Leona. Leona, dear, where is your mother?
Oh, mother's down in the basement, bottling ketchup.
Ketchup, huh?
I still say it's ketchup. Don't open the door, Virgil. Don't open the door. It's a raid.
It's no raid, folks. It's me. Biff Crosby with a word from your palsy-wowsy pay-when-you-feel-like-it credit dentist. Dr. Dingbat.
Friends, do you reach for a marshmallow instead of peanut brittle? If so, see Dr. Dingbat.
Do you say, no thank you, to corn on the cob? See Dr. Dingbat.
And folks, you can feel safe when Dr. Dingbat is working in your mouth because Dr. Dingbat washes his hands every day. Now, back to your extra special request movie, Dingbat, a Ding Dong Daughters.
Don't open the door, Virgil. Don't open it!
Friends, may I have your undivided attention for a moment? If you're in the market for a suit or a top coat, the man you should see is Happy Sam Hogan, the clothing king. Happy Sam's big factory outlet store is conveniently located between Palmdale and Mojave. Out of the high-rent district. And remember, Happy Sam has the world's largest free parking lot, the Mojave Desert. Now back to your extra special request movie.
Stopping here, Virgil?
I'm taking you to Tony's. It's a speakeasy.
Gee, a speakeasy. Do you think we'll be able to get in, Virgil?
Sure. I just press this buzzer, and when the guy comes to the peephole, I give him the password, and we're in. We'll get in okay.
Yeah? What do you want?
Joe sent me.
So what?
Jack sent me.
Never heard of him.
Nick sent me.
Hello, will you, bud?
Oh, we'll never get in, Virgil.
Oh, if Virgil sent you, come right in.
Gee, isn't this place the bee's knees?
Oh, it's the cat's pajamas.
It's the snake's hips, all right. Have you got your flask with you, Virgil?
Certainly. Have a snort.
Oh, I don't know. I'm afraid. Is this good alcohol?
It ought to be good. I got it out of the radiator of a Cadillac.
Howdy, kiddies. This is Uncle Ken, the old scout. I want to have a little talk with all you trusty, rowdy rangers about the crunchiest, munchiest, lunchiest candy bar on the market, the Gooey Bar. I know all you kiddies are loyal, and you're buying gooey bars with every cent you can get your chubby little hands on. I know for a fact that lots of you kiddies are eating 3 or 4 gooey bars a day, and that's darn good, but you can do better. I want you kids to eat 12 or 14 gooey bars every day. And then just thinky, you can be the only kid on your block with ulcers.
To your extra special request movie.
Gee, Leona, it's wonderful to be back home again.
Yes, Virgil. You're out of jail now and we're married. Just make yourself comfortable, Virgil, and I'll run down and get a bottle of Mother's ketchup.
Friends, speaking of ketchup, let me interrupt for a few seconds to tell you about a wonderful new soft drink. The soft drink that everyone is raving about. Zeppo. With Zeppo, there's a taste thrill for everybody because Zeppo comes in 4 delightful flavors. Groucho, Harpo, Chico, and Gummo. Now, back to your extra special request movie.
I I want to tell you something, Leona. Your mother is making better ketchup than ever.
Well, I have to get dressed now, Virgil, because the girls are giving me a baby shower this afternoon.
And now State has the ball on Occidental's 38-yard line, and what a thrilling football game we're seeing here today.
And we'll name the little darling after you, dear. After all, it's...
Fourth down, two to go for Occidental.
Wait, cut it. I'm sorry, folks. There seems to be another channel lapping over at our channel here. These things will happen, you know. Don't worry, folks. Roll the picture again. Come on.
Now that the baby's coming, it's so nice to think back to all the wonderful times we had together. Remember when we won the black bottom contest at the Crescent Ballroom?
How can I forget? You know, darling, we won that contest because your...
Backfield was in motion. Yes, sir, there's a penalty.
Oh, Virgil, you're a dear. But now I must get ready for the baby shower.
I've never been so happy. We'll have more children, my sweet. Maybe two, three, four...
50, 60, 70, 80. He went all the way, folks. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a touchdown for Occidental.
It was wonderful of you to let my mother stay here with us. She never had anything before.
Look, there she is out in the garden now, leaning down to pick roses. I'd love to go over there and give her...
A quick kick into the end zone. Oh, what a game, what a game. The rain is starting to come down hard now, and the field is getting sloppy. The boys are playing with a soggy, muddy pigskin, and it looks...
Just like your face. It's so tender and kind.
I'm so happy. Why, when you first told me that you were going to have a little one, I thought...
It was Occidental! That's right, folks. Occidental made another first down on State's 20-yard line. Uh-oh, but there's the gun ending the first half. Now, in a moment, we'll hear the State band.
Just take it easy, Leona. And your little Virgil will kiss you every morning and every evening.
And just wait till you see the halftime activities. But now all the players are leaving the field along with their coaches. They're all filing into the locker room.
Better hurry, dear. You want to be the first at the shower.
I must fix my hair, Virgil. It's a mess.
Ladies, is your hair a mess?
If so, use Rainbow Tint Rinse.
If you want your hair colored as quick as a wink,
use Rainbow, use Rainbow, use Rainbow.
Your hair can be purple, magenta, or pink.
With Rainbow, with Rainbow, with Rainbow.
Now there's one little thing we have got to explain. After you have used Rainbow, stay out of the rain. It will melt and your hair will run right down the drain.
That's Rainbow, that's Rainbow, that's Rainbow.
And thus ends your extra special request movie for tonight. Wasn't that a thrilling story? I'm sure we'll always carry with us memories of Leona and Virgil.
And Rainbow,
and Rainbow,
and Rainbow.
Well, folks, we have a lot of fun kidding those commercials. And here's a little song we're pretty serious about, though. One that makes a lot of sense to smokers everywhere. Kids, you want to sound off for Chesterfield, Alexis, and Bert? Get in there and give it a whirl, huh?
Take it from Alexis Smith. Chesterfield has mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. Yes, it's the one that sets the pace.
Chesterfield,
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 milder, 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 Chesterfield.
That's right.
Alexis says it in Wheeler, too. This is what you ought to do. Put on your hat, run down to the store, and buy the one that gives you more.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields and do it
today.
Yeah. Thanks, Alexis, Bert, and folks. It doesn't matter if it's set to music or not. The whole point of that pitch is this. Chesterfield's gives you something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste.
Over 1,500 tobacco growers say Chesterfield's delightful aroma means Chesterfield's smoke milder, much milder. and one of the most famous industrial research organizations in the world reports, of all brands smoked and examined, Chesterfield is the only cigarette which leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
So next time you buy cigarettes, sound off for Chesterfield and try a pack today.
This is an old tune that us oldsters recall with pleasure. Les Paul recently made a new recording of it, gave it a fresh lease on life. John Scott Trotter's fashioned a very lacy background for this evening's rendition.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise. Every rose is heavy with dew. The thrush on high, his sleepy mate is calling, and my heart is
That's the closer for tonight. My deepest thanks to Bert Wheeler and to Alexis Smith for joining up with us this evening.
I enjoyed it, Bing.
Who's with you next week, Bing?
Bert, next week we're going to do our Christmas show. We'll have lots of traditional music, and my guest will be a young fellow named Lindsey Crosby. This boy comes highly recommended by his mother, that is. Also with us will be Miss Trudy Irwin, who we haven't heard from since the old Kraft days. Hope to see you next week, folks. And meanwhile, lay in a goodly supply of those Chesterfield Christmas card cartons for your friends and your family. And smoke them yourself, because Chesterfields are really loaded with pleasure. Good night.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Lindsey Crosby and Trudy Irwin.
Transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the great Victor Herbert musical hit, The Red Mill, starring Gordon McRae and his celebrated guest, Miss Reza Stevens. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another memorable musical is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening to everyone. Well, on stage tonight is one of the happiest shows ever to hit Broadway, The Red Mill. Picture lovely Reza Stevens in the costume of a Dutch girl in the charming village of Katwijk aan Zee. As for me, well, I'm going to slip into a checkered vest, clap on a straw hat on my head, call myself Kid Connor. You know what my buddy's name is? Con Kidder. It all begins in another old Dutch village named, let me see if I can pronounce it. New York!
In old New York, in old New York, the peach crop's always fine. They're sweet and fair, and on the square, the maze of Manhattan for mine. You cannot see in Gay Paris, in London, or in Port. The queen to me on any street in old New York.
Hey, Con, what do you want to go to Europe for?
Romance, boy, romance. The European girls will be crazy about you.
Ah, oh, not so fast. There are plenty of lovely dishes right here in good old America.
If a spare afternoon you should happen to have and you start on a leisurely stroll up Fifth Avenue, there is where with haughty air you'll see them as they walk. With velvets and laces and sables enfolding them, really, you'll nearly drop dead on beholding them. Lucky's the earl who can marry a girl from Fifth Avenue, New York. In old New York, in old New York, the peach crop's always fine. They're sweet and fair, and on the square, the maze of Manhattan for mine. You cannot see in Gay Paris, in London, or in Cork. The queens you'll meet on any street in old New York.
But just the same, kid, I'd like to make the trip.
Yeah, you could go to Paris and marry a French countess.
Or go to Holland and marry a Dutch duchess.
When is the boat sail?
Tomorrow.
We're off!
Goodbye, New York. Goodbye, New York. We're sailing on our way. Farewell to Queens and Bowling Greens and Brooklyn and Battery Bay. We'll make our home in Reims and Rome and Amsterdam and York. A kiss for each and every beach. Goodbye, New York.
So this is Holland.
Hiya, Holland.
You know something, pal? We got to find a place to eat tonight.
Yeah.
Sleep, too.
It's got to be cheap sleep. We're broke.
Tell you what, let's ask that little Fräulein over there.
Okay. Hey, Mabel.
Yes? Were you addressing me, gentlemen?
Do you have any idea where we could sleep tonight?
Well, I don't know.
Well, how about that Red Mill? I better be real warm and comfortable.
Yes, very cozy. You too, and the ghost.
You mean the mill is haunted?
Every night at midnight, the ghost of a poor, unhappy bride walks through the mill, searching for her lost lover, Henry.
Thank you, and good night, Red Mill.
Hey, what's your name?
Gretchen.
Tell me, why do you look so wretched, Gretchen?
Tomorrow is my wedding day. Tomorrow, by this time, I shall be the wife of that fat old governor of Zealand.
Well, if you don't love him, why marry him?
My father is forcing me.
Oh, now, look, a pretty girl like you shouldn't worry.
Of course not. The Rover boys are here.
Right. Hey, got an idea.
Yeah?
She can't marry the governor of Zealand tomorrow if she marries me right now.
Why, you hardly know me.
You think of a better way to get acquainted? Why, I'm falling in love with you at 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, and wait till he shifts into second gear.
I don't understand how this has happened so fast.
You haven't seen very many musical comedies, have you, girl?
Well, frankly, I've been waiting a long time for somebody handsome and young and exciting to come along and sweep me off my feet. So, if you'd say that you love but me, only me, what a paradise life would be.
I love you. There. I said it. And you know what love is.
Love is a strange little elfin sprite, blessed with the deadliest aim, shooting his arrows to left and right, bagging the rarest game, filling our hearts with a glad surprise, almost too good to be true. Only because you are you, dear.
Not that I am
not
fair.
Not that you are fair.
Not that I am
tall.
Not
that you are true.
Not my golden
hair.
Not my eyes of blue.
Not your eyes of blue.
When
Say, Gretchen, where do people go in this country when they want to get married?
To the burgomaster. Oh, but my father's the burgomaster here, so we'll have to go to the next town.
Just one moment, my fine young friend.
Oh, Father!
Have you forgotten, my dear Gretchen, you are not marrying this silly young American, but His Excellency, the Governor of Zealand.
Now, just a minute. You're pretty high-handed, Mr. Burgomaster. Back where we come from, in little old New York, a girl can marry anyone she chooses.
Well, this is little old Catwick-on-Zee. And, Gretchen, since you seem to be so fond of this old red mill, I think I shall lock you up here overnight.
No!
And here you shall stay until the governor arrives to lead you to the altar.
Oh, Father, please, I'm frightened.
Come, in you go.
Now, wait a minute. You can't lock her up. You can't do this. You can't force her to wipe. I guess he can.
Good day, gentlemen.
I think I've seen that guy someplace before.
Yeah, on a beer mug.
Hey, what's that?
Just the old mill turning, I guess. Looks just like a skeleton, doesn't it? Waving its arms in the moonlight.
I want to go home.
But, Con, the girl I love's inside there.
But the boy I love is outside here.
Gretchen? Hey, Gretchen, are you all right? Gretchen!
She's gone.
Hey, look. Look, there's somebody up there in the tower of the mill.
Listen. Gretchen? Is that you?
Who else would it be?
Hey, Gretch, how did you get way up there?
Well, I climbed up the stairs inside the mill.
Have you seen the ghost?
No, not yet.
Well, when you see her, ask if she's got a friend. A live one.
I can't see your face in the moonlight, Gretch, but I know that you're as lovely as the moonbeams themselves.
Moonbeams shining soft above, let me beg of you, find the one I dearly love, tell her I'll e'er be true.
If they battle, if they pass,
the name of the ghost boyfriend.
Farewell, Henry, my love.
Gone. Poof.
Con, we've got to get Gretchen out of there. And I got an idea. Look, watch the blades in the mill.
Uh-huh.
Now, suppose you grabbed hold of one of the wings when it sweeps close to the ground.
Uh-huh.
You hang onto it, swing on up, and rescue Gretchen out of the tower window on the way down.
Uh-uh.
Then I'll do it. Gretchen, can you hear me?
Yes.
Swing up on one of the arms of the mill and rescue you.
Oh, be careful.
Yeah. Here I go.
So long, kid. Bon voyage.
Ooh. Ooh. Hey, Gretchen, lean out.
I'm leaning.
Farther. Lean out all over. Gotcha. Hang on.
This is the ground. All out.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for getting me out of that awful mill.
Now we've got to get away from your father, sweetheart. Let's go to the next town and get married.
And I'll stay here and stall the burgomaster.
Good. When he unlocks the door tomorrow morning, he's going to find nothing but echoes inside the old red mill.
And when he asks the reason...
You.
return for the second act of the Red Mill in just a moment. Let's suppose you must pay $2.35 today for products and services that cost you only a dollar in 1939, but that the price at which you are permitted to sell your services has gone up from $1 in 1939 to only $1.45 today. That, in brief, is what has happened to the railroads. The wages, prices, and taxes they must pay have considerably more than doubled in the last dozen years, while their average revenue for hauling a ton of freight a mile has increased by less than one half. As a concrete illustration of what happens when revenue lags so far behind expenses, consider this fact. The cost to the railroads of providing the nation's transportation this year will be about $1 billion more than it would have cost to do the job at the price and wage level of only 2 years ago. Yet the additional revenue the railroads will earn from the most recent freight rate increase, the only one allowed since 1949, will amount to only a little more than half that huge increase in costs. And these steadily rising operating costs, unfortunately, are burdening the railroads at a time when they are doing everything possible to expand their carrying capacity and improve their efficiency as much and as quickly as possible. Today, then, it is important that the railroads be permitted to charge for their services a price more nearly in line with the general level of prices that the railroads, like you, must pay for everything they need. And here's another important fact to bear in mind. Railroad freight rates, always a small part of the cost of most things you buy, are today even smaller when compared to prices generally than they were before World War II. And freight rates that would more realistically reflect current conditions would still leave freight charges one of the best bargains in America today. We're ready for Act Two of Victor Herbert's The Red Mill, starring Gordon McRae and his guest star, Reza Stevens, with Jack Kirkwood as the Burgomaster.
More moonbeams, just dawnbeams, sunbeams.
And Gretchen, you look even lovelier now than you did in the starlight.
Tell me, have you said that to many girls?
Oh, sure. I never meant it before. See, until I met you, Gretchen, I never really wanted to settle down with one girl. So, in America, I change girls 365 times a year.
What? Every day a different girl?
Why not? I don't eat the same egg every morning for breakfast.
Every day is ladies' day with me. I'm quite at their disposal all the while. And my pleasure it is double if they come to me in trouble. Well, I always find a way to make them smile. The little darlings. No doubt I should have married long ago. It's the proper thing to do, you'll all agree. But I never could find any fun in wasting all my time on one. So every day is ladies' day with me. It's a frightful thing to think of all the hearts that I have broken. Although each one fell in love with me without the slightest token. Though among my vulgar creditors I'm fearfully in debt. It's because I have afforded anything that I could get. But I must say I've enjoyed the best of what there is in life. I've been lucky in my love affairs. I've never had a wife. And I don't begrudge the little dears those necklaces of pearls. All the money that I've ever saved is what I've spent on girls. For every day is ladies' day with me.
Every day is ladies' day.
I'm quite at their disposal all the while. And my pleasure it is double if they come to me in trouble. For I always find a way to make them smile. The little darlings. No doubt I should have married long ago. It's the proper thing to do, you'll all agree. But I never could find any fun in wasting all my time on one. So every Every day is Ladies' Day with me.
Every day is Ladies' Day.
So every day is Ladies' Day with me.
Well, that's how it was before I met you. Now every day is Gretchen's day for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm only worried about what's going to happen when my father unlocks the old red mill.
Oh, my buddy will take care of him, all right.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Burgomaster.
Good morning.
What brings you out to the mill so early?
Just checking up on my daughter.
Well, it's too late. She's already checked out.
What? Where is she? Gretchen? Where are you? Gretchen! Oh, I must find her. I'll spare no expense.
No expense?
I understand Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson are in this country visiting. I believe I'll hire them.
Sir, let me get them for you. I'll get Holmes and Watson on this job for you right away. Hiya, Mr. and Mrs. Connor.
We aren't Mr. and Mrs. yet.
No, we couldn't afford to get married, Connor.
Boy, have I got the cure for that. Put on this costume quickly.
Huh? I don't get it.
I'm going to be Sherlock Holmes and you're going to be Dr. Watson. We'll collect a fee to find this lost girl enough to get you married.
Where'll we go after we're married?
Oh, I know a wonderful spot.
I have an idea you're thinking of the same place I am. In the beautiful Isle of a Dream, dear,
there is never a sorrow or pain. Every trouble and care quickly vanishes there, and all is made happy. And we'll sail o'er the sea, where for just you and me there's a home in the Isle of a Dream. So we'll leave this cold, weary old world here, where there's nothing that's quite as it seems. And we'll sail o'er the sea, where for just you and me there's a home in the Isle of a Dream.
All right, already. You can stop being Romeo and start being Dr. Watson. We got some plain and fancy Sherlocking to do. Well, Dr. Watson, how do I look?
Very Baker Street, Mr. Holmes. Gentlemen.
Ha-ha! You are the burgomaster of Katwinkansee.
Well, that's amazing. How did you know me, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, elementary. Elementary, my dear burgomaster. I want you to meet my assistant, an eminent colleague, the celebrated Dr. Watson.
Delighted to make your
From the way he talks, he must be British.
If he were any more British, he couldn't talk at all.
Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, how much will you charge to find my daughter?
Well, sir, our price depends on the difficulty of the job. Is your daughter young and beautiful?
Oh, yes.
Well, then it will be very expensive. Because, you know, beautiful young girls are very hard to find these days. And how much shall we charge, Dr. Watson? Dr. Watson says, and I quote, 550. Five guilders.
It's a deal. Here's the money. But I demand that you bring my daughter to this very spot no later than 4 o'clock this afternoon, in time for her wedding to the governor of Zealand.
Quick, Dr. Watson, go get married.
Mr. Holmes, in 15 seconds it will be 4 o'clock. If you don't produce my daughter by then, I'll have you thrown in jail.
Mr. Burgomaster, I don't think you like me.
Your time is up, you swindler.
Just a minute. Listen.
Is that my daughter?
Mr. Burgomaster, do you believe in the ghost in the old red mill?
Certainly not.
Then that's your daughter.
Gretchen, you're just in time for your wedding to the governor.
There's been a little change in plans, Mr. Burgomaster.
You see, I've been going around with Mr. Connor.
On windmills.
Yes, and we liked it so much we got married.
Wow! Why, you...
I think the Burgomaster has just blown a gasket.
Gretchen, let's get away from here.
Where'll we go?
Well, may I recommend a wonderful spot called Manhattan?
Could someone from Holland be happy there?
Well, Peter Stuyvesant liked it.
In old New York, in old New York, the peach crop's always fine.
They're sweet and fair, and on the square, the maze of Manhattan for mine. You cannot see in Gay Paris, in London, or in Cork. The queen she'll be on any street in old
Lisa Stevens will be back in just a moment. And meanwhile, our thanks to Jack Kirkwood, Peter Leeds, and our entire company. The Red Mill, with music by Victor Herbert and book and lyrics by Henry Blossom, was dramatized for the Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. You got your Christmas shopping done yet? And it won't be long, you know, till Santa comes a-calling. And as you go in and out of the stores looking for gifts for the youngsters and the rest of your loved ones, remember this. The wealth of the wonderful presents that tempt your eye in every shop window, like the everyday items on your weekly shopping list, are made possible by the continent-wide, low-cost, mass transportation service of America's railroads. Now, here again is lovely Reza Stevens.
It was wonderful going around with you tonight, Gordon, on the windmill.
Well, anytime you want to be rescued, Reza, honey, let me know.
Who's the damsel in distress next week?
Nadine Connor.
Oh.
And she's going to be the lovely Rosalie, and we'll be singing the music of Romberg and Gershwin.
Oh, sounds wonderful. Good night, Gordon.
Good night, Reza. Come back soon.
All aboard.
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out, and so until next week, this is Gordon McRae saying goodbye to all of you, and especially to my dear grandmother.
The Red Mill was presented by special arrangement with the Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon McRae can be seen in Warner Brothers' Starlit. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now keep tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
Proceeding was transcribed. Next, Lily Pons, guests on the Telephone Hour on NBC.